Be read for this. The first Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I exhort you by the mercy of God to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, pleasing to God, your spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in the newness of your mind, that you may discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the grace that has been given to me, I say to each one among you, let no one rate himself more than he ought, but let him rate himself according to moderation, and according as God has apportioned to each one the measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same function, so we, the many, are one body in Christ, but severally members one of another in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his wonder, at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning, before anything else, I would like for us to pray for two priests. Both are very much advanced in age. There is one by the name of Father LeBlanc. Some of us, Francis LeBlanc in Arizona, I think some of us might be acquainted with him because in some respects he is notorious. But he is a very good priest. And the other is a priest in Washington by the name of Father Blanco. And he too is advanced in age. Father LeBlanc had a blood clot in his brain here about 8 or 10 days ago. And Father Blanco collapsed while saying Mass just after the elevation of the chalice the other day, which, of course, the chalice had to be locked up in the tabernacle with the consecrated host. And Father Blanco, who rallies each time when he collapses like that, had to come back, of course, and finish saying the Mass, because the Mass has to be finished somehow or other. Some time ago, Father Blanco collapsed at the altar just after saying the words of the consecration of the chalice. And of course, something had to be done about that. So we completed the Mass that he did not finish up there. We completed it down here because that Mass has to be completed. So let us please pray for these two priests. One is 77 and one is 79. And all of the old vines in the vineyard, the true vines that are carrying the true fruit one at a time, are now going away. And when these are all gone, then those of us that remain will just have to do the best we can in trying to understand what it was to be in the old vineyard. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. May Almighty God bless them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I might say, in addition, that we are all living in such a state of poverty. This morning, at Father LeBlanc's church, there's no priest. And the people this morning will not have Mass. So that's where we are, people. This morning, Father Francis has asked me to please ask all the children who regularly come to catechism class to bring along with them their little missals. And should they not have a missal, if they can borrow the missal of their mother or father. And of course, if this is not available, that they will please bring with them to class this morning one of the little green missals in the back of the church, in the vestibule of the church. Under normal conditions today, we would recall and bring to mind the Feast of the Epiphany. I think I told you last week that in places other than America, the Feast of the Epiphany is a larger feast than is Christmas and is the holy day of obligation. And it is an important feast. If you will notice that we are stressing this morning in our little crib the appearance of the three wise men at the scene of Bethlehem. I recommend strongly, my beloved people, that you, with little children, bring the little children over to the crib this morning and explain to them the coming of the three kings. Don't get technological, don't get theological or philosophical or anything like that, but just simply bring to mind to these little children, to their awareness, of the three kings and how they traveled a great distance to come to see the Lord Jesus, and explain it in simple terms what took place on the Feast of the Epiphany. In accordance with that, this morning we have here on this little table blessed chalk that was blessed on the Feast of the Epiphany. And I ask that you come up here, each one, in your family, in the family, and pick up some pieces of chalk. Don't be afraid to pick up more than one piece. It's here to be used help yourselves, since it's all gone, and take it home with you. And mark the doors, and I think as you came into the church this morning, there could be no possible mistake about the doors being marked. And that was done with intention or forethought to show you the importance of it. These doors, as your doors, are important. You enter these doors as you enter the doors of your house, each of the doors of your house. The three wise men traveled thousands of miles, some of them, one of them, I think. And they traveled in great, amongst great danger. Today we travel, perhaps not in the same kind of physical danger as did the three wise men, but we certainly do travel in a greater kind of danger, namely spiritual danger. You fathers, I'm after you fathers right now, so don't get provoked at me. You fathers, get this chalk, take this chalk, take it home, do your duty, as you did with the blessing of the bread. Bless your home. Bless the chalk, bless the doors of your home, of your house. Invite the children, invite the whole family to go with you. And bring them along as you bless the doors. Bless the doors to their rooms, that the devil may not enter in. This is a special blessing. It is a type of an exorcism. Not exactly one, but it is a type of an exorcism in which we chase out the devil, who is everywhere seeking somebody to devour. Bless your home, fathers. And when your fathers are not there, you mothers, bless your homes. Bless your houses. We are living in certainly in very perilous times. Do your duty. Protect your families. Protect your children. I'm going to say a little bit in a minute about something of that nature. And I will continue this, but so much for the moment. February the 2nd, as all of us know, is Candlemas Day. It's the feast of the presentation of the Blessed Mother in the purification, presentation of the Blessed Mother in the temple. We bless candles on that day. Any ones of you who have candles, those of you that already know about this, please bring your candles here before the Sunday, before February the 2nd. And just leave them in the vestibule. Be sure that the boxes are nicely wrapped up, whatever. And be sure, however, that they are properly identified. And we will take those candles and bring them up here, and they will be properly blessed, that you will take them home with you and use them throughout the year in your houses, in your homes, in your little altars and little chapels. This is quite a wonderful blessing that goes with everything else. So be sure that the candles are here before the last Sunday of January. Which on that same Sunday, our sister Bernadette will make her first vows. For us, this is a tremendous blessing. And I ask you to pray for our little Bernadette. And as we pray to the Saint Bernadette, that we ask that saint to protect us as we work and walk along, as we walk along this path of ours that is full of so much treachery and misery. one point that is in the bulletin that has to be made, our Sunday bulletins are also being placed on the website, on our webpage. And any one of you can certainly get to these bulletins. And yes, I'm looking at the wrong place. Take these, bring into these bulletins and study them if you wish, and be sure and tell those elsewhere who do not receive our bulletins that these are available and how they can come upon them. I do not particularly wish to advertise, but I do think that the points that are brought out in our presentation are certainly worth listening to and adhering to. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. And he went with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. My beloved people, in reality, we cannot walk away from Nazareth. And those that have systematically and intentionally walked away from Nazareth, as the minute they stepped out of the threshold of their house, their home, they walked into darkness. Our concern today has to be about our children, our little children, our littlest children. We get letters. We get lots of letters. And one of the main points emphasized in those letters, a lot of times, many times, letters that are from older people, the grandchildren. The grandparents, I'm not speaking here of grandparent takeover, as in some places we know about. I'm speaking in terms of grandparent concern about the faith of their children, grandchildren and children, parents. Something has to be done to uphold this faith in the little minds and hearts of these young children. Everything we look at, every place we visit, all the places we read, all the things that we read, everything is gradually eroding, constantly, consistently eroding the supernatural. In our lives, the supernatural does not really play as important a role as it ought to. Now, in the case of children, some of our children are missing this morning. In the case of children, we must be very careful not to force our religion. This is important, this point, because sometimes, in some places, our religion is imposed upon our children. This is not good. Why is it not good? Because just because they obey, just because they take part in or whatever, does not mean that the little children are convinced. They are subdued. They're conquered. And so long as they have to live in the state of subjection, they obey. They have to, if they do not want the displeasure and the anger and the punishment of the parents. Holiness has to be generated. It cannot be imposed. It cannot be forced. Same thing with character. Character cannot be forced. You cannot force somebody to be good, somebody to be obedient, somebody to be honest, upright, or whatever. You can't force that. Oh, they can be subdued long enough to get away from out from under subjection. You have to generate character. Getting back to holiness now. Holiness has to be generated. And who are the ones to generate holiness? The parents. And how do they generate holiness? Example. Do not force your children to do this, that, or the other. Invite them. We've gone over this before. We've gone over this before. Please take my word for it, because we've got some sad experiences ourselves. As soon as the individual child becomes old enough to be emancipated, if such a child has been forced this way or that, take my word for it. The child goes wild. And license comes in, and the child is lost. Once lost, always lost. Unless the grace of God very specially comes back and touches that child. Everything that we encounter today, everything, downgrades the very thing that we are here for. I know sometimes you think that we here are pushing a little bit too hard. I hope not harshly, but maybe a little too hard. My beloved people, it doesn't matter how much you have earned in life. It doesn't matter what you have accomplished in life. It doesn't matter what kind of leadership role you have held in life or whatever. Those things are not important. The one thing that is important, the only thing that is important, is did we keep the faith? That you are here, my precious people, my dear people, that we are here. We are one family. That we are here, that you are here, is a miracle. You are a miracle. There can be no other way to say it. That you have had to travel through a black cloud. And by the grace of God, you are here. As I've said before, this does not make you better than anybody. It does not make us better than anybody. But that Almighty God, however, has touched each of us somehow, somewhere, some way, someplace, something. The finger of God has miraculously kept the faith within us. You might think that I am overdoing this. I'm not overdoing this. The reason why I'm so emphatic about that is that, thank God, you are not privy to all of the gibberish that is printed today and distributed today by the so-called geniuses of our world and of our church. It is very difficult, my beloved people. You see, you read this genius over here on this side saying, yes, this is the way. While at the same time, the genius on this side says, no, it's not the way. And there you are. There we are. Like a ball on us, like a tennis ball in a tennis court, going back and forth. And here we are. Here we are, the spectators, going this way and that way. This way and that way. Uncertain what is the truth and what is not the truth. Several things sometimes are used. One in particular that can be a source of hindrance, and that is this inordinate attachment to the use of the Latin language. Don't misunderstand me, I'm not making a case for the vernacular. Definitely not. And please God, may the ceiling fall down upon us if our Holy Mass ever is tampered with in that regard. But I will say that there is an overemphasis on Latin sometimes, and that we, if it's not said in Latin, there's something wrong with it. Some people, if you don't brush your teeth in Latin, you're just not brushing your teeth validly. We have to be above that. We have to look at things objectively and honestly as they are. We must have pickup of conscience. Our religion must bring to us the serenity and the peace and the understanding and the warmth of Jesus Christ. He went down with them to Nazareth to grow. Let us not allow our imagination to become confused about the person, Jesus. I think sometimes because we see a human being walking around, that we look upon him as a human being. Jesus Christ, of course, was a human being. Jesus Christ was the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And Jesus Christ was God himself. And Jesus Christ was in on the creation of you and I and everything we see. And he, the creator, God, subjected himself to his creature, Mary, and to his creature, Joseph, in all obedience. And we must do the same thing. Dearest people, the one thing that we always say here is don't be afraid. Don't fear. If you trust God, if we trust God, we have nothing to fear. The storm will come. The lightning will strike wherever and however. But it will pass. We think sometimes and look back at our blessed Lord at the Garden of Gethsemane, and we say that he cried, which he did. And we come up with the wrong answer sometimes and think that he cried because he was dreading the pain and the torture and the agony of the passion, the crowning of the thorns, the scourging, the crucifixion, etc. Christ was not the least bit concerned about that. Not the least bit. What was he crying about? I mentioned to you last week that he might say to you and me, my love, look at what my love has compelled me to do for you. You mention to me all the time that you love me. You mention to me how much you love me. Very well. But may I ask, what have you given to me because of your love for me? And when he was there crying in Gethsemane, what was he crying about? He saw all of the ocean of mankind who would not profit, whom would be lost to all the main purpose of his coming. The main purpose and only purpose of his coming was to open up the gates of salvation so that all souls might be saved. And he saw all of those that would not be and who would not profit by all that he had given for them. So all these things have to be constantly kept before us, that we may see the importance of our salvation, that we understand what our religion is about. Our religion, my beloved people, it has been said before, our religion is not a set of rules. Please do not punish yourselves. Please do not punish your children with a set of rules. Our religion is an act of love, is an act of charity. And that is what, after all, keeps our faith where it belongs. Don't forget what St. Paul said about things. If you have faith to move mountains and have not charity, it profits us nothing. So as we start this new year, and I again repeat, pick out one predominant fault in your lives, our lives, and let us work on that consistently from here on out. If we can correct one fault per year, by the time we come up to face the Lord God in judgment, we should go there without much worry. Pray. Let everything be prayer in your life. Let your work pray. Pray at your work. Pray as you breathe. Pray as you walk. Pray as you talk. Pray as you eat. Pray as you sleep. Pray as you live. I do not mean that this means that you must stay on your knees all day long. You know better than that. But if you pray as you sleep and eat and walk and be, then you know that all is well, that your life is a life of prayer. That is what we have to foster. That is what we must learn how to do. And it is our place here somehow to teach. I said a moment ago, when we were talking about the two priests, when all the old heads are gone, who is there going to be left to tell you what the fruit of that vineyard tasted like once upon a time? When all the old heads are gone, you're going to have to go to the books. And a book cannot tell you what the grape tasted like. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised to learn how few old heads there are left. Pray for them. Ask Almighty God to give them length of days, long enough to lead us through the cloud that we're all in. I'm not trying to feel sorry for myself. I'm not trying to feel sorry for you. I'm only trying to encourage you to courage, that you have work to do, that I have work to do, that we have work to do. And that is for the sake of Almighty God and His kingdom on earth. You know well enough how His kingdom is being squeezed more and more and more. You are a miracle. We are a miracle. We are one family. We must live as one family. We must pray as one family. We must walk as one family. We must be as one family, giving eternal praise to God. That's all He asks of us. He asks for no more. May you be blessed. Blessed ones of God, may you be blessed.